In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If I knew you better, I might let you into all the secrets of my rather unorthodox wedding, which took place in 1992, some 5,088 miles from here. But as we are mostly strangers to one another, let me share only three things. There were just seven of us present, including the celebrant and three witnesses we met 10 days earlier. Bride and groom made the customary promises, including to love each other for better, for worse. And 29 years and 7 months later, my husband is still soldiering on with his promises and is here in chapel with me this morning. Orthodox or not, there's always something moving about the solemn promises made publicly between two people who commit to spending the rest of their lives together. As a member of a busy church choir, I've sung at perhaps 100 weddings in my lifetime, and it's imperative in my experience to have a handkerchief at the ready, even if you don't know the couple concerned. There's something about the courage of it, a person making themselves that vulnerable, taking a leap into the dark and promising to stay with someone no matter what. There's something about the hope in it, that this vulnerability and sacrifice will be worth it, even if it sometimes proves very challenging or reduces opportunities for pleasure elsewhere. There's something about the love in it, love which overcomes fear and uncertainty and the need for self-preservation, which drives someone to give themselves openly and completely, body and soul, to another human being. And even then, there is one more ingredient, which I think is where the sacred lies, which is in the mutuality of it, in the shared understanding that both parties are fully human, with all their gifts and all their failings, but accepted and rejoiced in just as they are, where courage and hope and love meet courage and hope and love, something of exceptional beauty is going on. Great benefaction strikes me as carrying something of the weight of this kind of beauty. I'm indebted to Paul Vallely, whose magisterial tome Philanthropy casts new light on our understanding of charitable giving. He traces the first appearance of the word philanthropy to the 5th century BC in the ancient Greek tragedy Prometheus Bound. Prometheus is the god who shares the gift of divine fire with mere mortals and incurs the wrath of Zeus for his impertinence. Philanthropia, the loving of human beings, is treated as a most grievous transgression, for which Prometheus is chained to a rock for daily torture. As Vallely puts it, philanthropy was, from the outset, a risky business. Some benefactors, whether in ancient Greece or Rome or in much more recent times, can give with motivations other than love, some of which are more attractive than others. They are human, after all. There may be a desire for status and recognition, an impulse to control how a beneficiary behaves, to discharge a sense of obligation, or even to assuage some kind of guilt. But in the end, the gift once given is given, for better or worse. And all those of us who benefit from philanthropic gifts should be very careful to notice the risks our benefactors have taken and the sacrifices that have been made. The benefactors we remember today, the principal benefactors of this great college, each made sacrifices and took risks. Some of them will have given for particular projects, new buildings here, the playing fields there, buildings they might not be allowed to enter, fields on which they might never even watch a match. Some will have given to support particular areas of study, research perhaps, or teaching, in subjects to which they themselves would never return. Some will have given in a way which is entirely unrestricted, for whatever those in positions of responsibility here might consider the best use for the time being of their charitable gift. In each case, this is an act of courage, that the purposes of the gift will be honoured, and that the donors themselves might continue to be respected once the ownership of any gift has passed from benefactor to beneficiary. To give to a college is also an act of hope, that this vulnerability and sacrifice will turn out well for the college, even if it proves challenging for the donor or reduces their opportunities in some other way. To give to a college can also be an act of great love, to place above one's own needs the needs of others, to learn and to grow. We need to ask ourselves what such gifts ask of us, beyond our words of thanks and praise. Because being a good beneficiary also takes work. How do we meet courage, hope, and love with courage, hope, and love? When you see how this can be done in the best possible way, it leaves on you an indelible mark. This struck me most clearly on a trip to South Sudan, where I took my last trip as chief executive of Christian Aid in 2017. The civil war was raging on, and I found myself dropping out of a UN helicopter behind opposition lines in Unity State, where famine had been declared, to see how we were setting about spending the money so generously raised from our supporters to meet the needs of the poorest people affected by the war. I wanted to make sure things were working well on the ground and to be able to report back to the donors from the Salisbury Diocese, where much of the money had been raised and whom I was planning to visit soon after my return. In the town of Niel, I met people who had waded through swamps for 5 days to flee the fighting. Water often up ran their shoulders, bearing their elderly and their children on their heads. In extreme conditions in which they might have thought just of themselves, they literally carried the most vulnerable and the most needy. The place they reached where I met them was desperately poor, but local people were sharing what they had and pulling together with those who had arrived. And with the great generosity of Christian Aid supporters and the skills of Christian Aid staff and Christian Aid's partner UNIDO, those people were able to feed themselves using fishing equipment given to them to catch tilapia in the river and new seeds and tools to grow vegetables they'd never seen before, like cabbage and kale and onions and tomatoes too. And to thank us, one group sang and danced and gave us two chickens and an aubergine. As hungry as they were, as precarious as their lives had become, they were still ready to give. They used our gifts well, but they didn't miss the chance to meet some of our needs too, and not ask themselves too hard how that would leave them in terms of meeting their own needs. That day I saw courage and hope and love meet courage and hope and love. It reminded me of the precious oil poured over Jesus' feet when it could have been given to the poor. The generosity of Christian Aid's donors met the generosity of the Niel community and its refugee guests, and something of raw and exceptional beauty was going on. Today we praise and give thanks to those who took their courage in both hands and gave to this great college when, with their significant means, they could have made other choices. Many people mentioned by name have now left us, but we continue to hold in our hands something of their legacy and their reputation. In many cases, their gifts, well stewarded, will continue to support the college for many generations, and those who live, work, and study here, both in their time at John's and beyond. Our responsibilities as beneficiaries are to give thanks and praise, yes, to use the gifts we receive wisely and carefully in the light of their purposes, and, I'd suggest, to recognize those who gave them as fully human, with their own gifts and their own failings, and to that extent at least, just like us. In a marriage of benefactors and beneficiaries, people are thrown together for better, for worse. For those who have given and gone before, they can do no more. They were our benefactors, but we are their beneficiaries. Their task may be done, but our task continues. Let us now praise famous ones and benefactors less famous too, not just for what they have given in the past, but for the opportunities they will give us today and tomorrow to show, as they have shown, courage, hope, and love.